Our Ask the Mayor Public Affairs program every Sunday morning at 7 o'clock and then online at WHLC. I'm Steve Day with Honorable Mayor Patrick Taylor.
Good morning, Steve.
Look at the papers. And the Highlander coming out on Thursday, a very scary day. Wonderful pictures and a comprehensive story. We have some great journalists and wonderful first responders.
That is true. And, you know, a lot of times we have very slow news weeks. This past week was not one of those weeks. Especially the swatting incident where some madman called in to 911 threatening the Episcopal Church.
On the front page of the Highlander, it says the caller's initial conversation. I know you know this. I'm just reading from it. The dispatcher suggested a credible threat, quoting, "I am going to the Church of the Incarnation on Main Street. I am going to shoot him. If any officers turn up, I will shoot them in the face. I'll blow this whole place up," said the caller, and away we go.
It was a frightening moment. I know that Captain McCall and Chief Holland, they were at Rotary Club this past Tuesday. We have what we call a happy dollar, and I got up and gave 20 happy dollars to our police department because I know there's a lot of second guessing. There's room always for improvement to responses, but there was a lot of second guessing about our police officers in this situation. And when I saw Captain McCall and others in full tactical gear with assault rifles, I realized that they were on the point of the spear, if you will, and they were all committed to giving up their own lives to protect the citizens and the young people of this town. And I think we need to always focus on they were committed. They were ready to respond. Police officer in these kind of situations have an unbelievable, difficult, and tough job, and they're under so much pressure having to make immediate decisions that, yes, it's easy to step back after several days and all the danger is cleared and say, well, it could have been done this way or that way. They're doing that now because they're always trying to improve their response. I just wanted to express my gratitude on behalf of the community for what they did, as well as our fire department, our municipal workers, everyone, for example, the sanitation workers, everybody worked together to address this very difficult situation.
And the chief's timely reports, very helpful for those in the media. And you brought up something before we started. You were talking about Appalachian State.
Right.
They had come about three calls like this. And
App State had, within about two-month period, three similar swatting calls like we were dealing with. Some people were asking me this week, well, how can we make sure that this never happens in Highlands? And my response is, we can't. This is not just a Highlands problem. We don't have the unlimited resources that it would take to prevent this. This is a state and national problem. We have to work with other agencies at the state and even at the federal level to try to address this, but I don't see any magic solution to this anytime soon. At App State, what they've discovered, you have private, open source video cameras on streets. The swatters will gravitate to those situations because they can sit there on the telephone and watch the cameras and respond to what is happening. And in our situation, we had a business that had an open source video camera that was covering the church, Mountain Fresh, where our police were staging. And that's where he was saying, oh, if you move, I'm going to shoot you in the head and all of that kind of crazy nonsense. It made it seem like that shooter was right there at the scene. And that's what they were trying to determine all day. Is there a shooter in the Main Street area that we have to confront, take into custody, or neutralize if it got down to it? And what disturbs me, Steve, is that when a swatter does this, they probably are getting their thrills and laughing at what's happening. But you're putting people in real jeopardy because, yes, the police are in tactical mode, and there could always be a mistake, a misidentification or something that would end in a very terrible tragedy. We want to also step back, and I've already had conversations with the police chief and the town manager. How can we improve our response? What did we learn from this situation? So that's where we are. at this time. And of course, we, along with the state and even federal agencies, are working as hard as they can to identify the people that do this.
And you brought up how busy you got with TV stations calling you about all this news. And so you're thinking of, as you told me before we started, training someone to be an information officer?
We were kind of overwhelmed with media inquiries. Along with that, Steve, you had the chatter on Facebook, which was sometimes just absolutely crazy. Some people saying there was a hostage situation, other people saying the person was shooting someone or had shot someone or going down Main Street, or just crazy stuff that we had to contend with also. Yes, the police chief is looking at not creating a position, but taking one of the positions they already have in the police department and training that person to become, as you say, an information officer in case of emergency like this again.
And which the chief was the information officer, and she'd be a perfect one to train anybody to do that.
That's because right.
Everything that she said was known.
Well, the Chief Holland has gone to the FBI information school and gotten training. But the problem with the chief was she was commanding the response in the field. We need to have another person trained at a level to where chief, the police, the first responders, everyone can send in correct information to that officer of information who would then disperse it to the news media and the public.
I think it's time to go to the ATM and get some more happy dollars and send it on over to the police department.
That's right.
Sure. Well, the town board meeting we had on that same day, of course, workshop, the town board meeting, you guys were sworn in, commissioners and you mayor, of course, and the room tax coverage.
Let me just say this, Steve, with swearing in and having the meeting, we had police presence to provide security, because we still were concerned that this swatting thing was a potentially fluid situation. But yeah, we had a very interesting workshop where we talked about making potential changes to the room tax legislation. I thought it was a productive workshop in that I did a presentation, we had commissioners discuss the issue, and then we opened the floor to other stakeholders. So the next step will be for us to now start reaching out to other elected officials in the county and in Franklin and start processing what can, should, and could be done to change the room occupancy tax legislation and the way we spend those funds.
Yeah, the feedback on the zoning board and the planning board and about this new hotel.
At the meeting, we had people in public comment saying that they did not like the design and we should not allow it and so forth. Let me respond to those comments now on the radio. The time for commenting about the proposed facility has passed. We had a planning board meeting that reviewed the proposal where the public could have made comments. We had a zoning board meeting where, frankly, there were very few people from the public attending. And now it has been approved by the zoning board. We can't go back. The town board has no authority under North Carolina statutes to now go back and say, we don't like the decision of the zoning board and we're overturning it. That would be illegal. That would generate a lawsuit of unbelievable proportions if that violation of due process was to be taken. So the hotel has been approved and it will be moving forward. In fact, I think I saw some surveyors at the site this week putting out some stake. I know people get frustrated with change here in Highlands, but Steve, we have ordinances, we have codes, and if someone meets those codes and wants to put up a building or start a business and it meets all the criteria, then under the Constitution of the United States and the state constitution, of which all of us at this last election swore allegiance to follow when we were sworn in as new officials, we have to approve those requests. Do we need to go back and change ordinances? Maybe. Sometimes that isn't as simple as one thinks. Some people thought this hotel was too tall because on one side, the entry side, it meets the 35 feet requirement. You can't go over 35 feet, but that land slopes down to where you build on the back, it's like 45 feet. Some people said we've got to change that. if we were to change that, it applies also to our residential homes. There would be some lots where you could not build much of a home because it would violate that height restriction. The state passed Senate Bill 382 and the governor signed it a year ago, and that prevented downzoning. And I was talking with Michael Mathis this week about the impact of that legislation. Downzoning means you can't go in and change a zoning code or permitted use that restricts the use of that property from what you originally did. A lot of zoning directors are sitting there now saying, if we go and change some of the ordinances on zoning codes that we have, we have to be careful that we do not diminish the use of the way the property was originally zoned. Things have stalled because they have to now go back and say, does that comport with Senate Bill 382? The state and the municipalities will eventually kind of find our way and resolve this. But this is the time where I don't see a lot of wholesale changes in municipal zoning codes taking place.
Well, after 12 years, and the people are understanding that I interview you every week, and they say, hey, Steve, ask the mayor, they got another burger joint coming in. Is that next?
This is called Ask the Mayor, right?
Right.
Here's my response. If a business, whether it be a fast food burger joint or whatever you want to call it, if they can acquire a piece of property and meet all the zoning requirements that we have in place, then guess what? They can do it, and we have to approve it. We are not a sovereign state or nation and say, we don't like this. We have to follow state statutes. 160D is about land use. And we have to have code of ordinances on zoning and building, stormwater control. And when a business comes into town, they have to meet those requirements. If they can meet the requirements, the town board or the mayor or the zoning director can't just say, well, we just don't think this is Highlands and we don't like it, so we're not going to allow it. That will not fly. Getting back to the fast food place, if they can meet our ordinances, then they can operate in the town of Highlands.
This is our Christmas show, and there is the mayor's tree. And what would be under the mayor's Christmas tree and your wishes?
You know, Steve, one of the things that I've really loved about Highlands is that I think we're a civil and caring community. And we all always have a guiding principle of civility. Even at our board meetings, like where we discuss changing the room tax, we have people that have very passionate views about those issues. By and large, we are civil and caring to one another and courteous to one another, although we might not agree with one another. I hope that we can continue that decorum as we go into the next year. That's, to me, what makes a community special. If we can look at the issues, debate the issues, and then at the end, make a decision and move forward and still be friends and still acknowledge that everyone, regardless of their point of view, they believe and they do have the best interest of the community in mind when they're advocating for one direction or another. So I think that's what I hope we can continue to do.